giving people. It's just, it's beautiful. I just, you know, it's not so bad that you want us to talk. You might not get us to shut up. But with that, I'll let the next person go. Thank you.
I'm a good stew, and I learned how to be a good nephew at Muskie. Yeah. Listen. Okay, Jennifer.
I don't want to go third. There's nothing left.
you can build on or add to.
Yeah, I'm going to build on and add to that. And I think there's so many important things. For me, I really focus on telling the students that it's okay to fail. There is no wrong answers, and I think that's so important and so missing. We start as soon as they get to preschool telling them what they do well. That's good. I like when you did this. We never say, oh, you know, that preschool does a little bit, but we never acknowledge those moments of the wrong answers or, you know, failing a test as something that is positive. And I really focus on helping students see that there is no wrong answers, like everything is getting you to the next step, and that it's okay to fail because we're in it together and we're going to rise up together. And in those moments of maybe failing a class or, you know, doing something that you don't feel you did your best, there's so much learning in that. And I think that we don't see that a lot. We start schooling students as soon as they get into kindergarten, into grade one, into this individualistic idea of it's important to get good grades. It's important to get that 80%. So I try to balance that in understanding that, yes, you do have to, you know, pass your classes and we have to work on that together. But it's okay to say, I don't understand. It's okay to say, I need some help. I don't get what you're saying. And I really try to humble myself and work side by side, like elbow to elbow in the students with that. I'll even pull up my own grades on and share them on the screen and be like, look at the courses I failed in the first year. Look at the courses I failed. And one of my favorite stories to share to kind of model this is, and Marnie will remember this, I had my son in the middle of my second term, and I had to take history, which used to be a year-long course. And I had a professor the first term that I could not understand what he was saying. He was French-Canadian, very strong accent, and I was failing the course. I had my son. I failed the first half of the course. I think I got 13%. And I did well on the second half, and I passed the course with 51%. And I remember going to Marnie's office and her, just both of us jumping up and down and celebrating that D. Like, that was the best grade. To this day, that was the best grade because it was so hard. And both Marnie and everybody else there kept telling me, it doesn't matter. Your grades don't matter. Get through it. Do your best. If you fail, we'll do it again. We'll get through it together. And I think that's such an important thing for students to know, because the education system isn't geared towards that. It's geared towards teaching them that, you know, you didn't pass that or you didn't get a good grade. I think that's all I have.
Well, thank you. Okay, Joanna.
I think there could be like more spaces for Indigenous learners in our schools and being confident to go on the land and see on the land as a space and a place for teaching. I feel like we need so many spaces and places for Indigenous people, both in outside of our classrooms and even online. So a lot of my work looks at digital spaces, and I'm always working with students, especially when COVID started and we had a lot of the transition online, and a lot of our students felt like they struggled online and they felt like they didn't understand our learning platforms. And so I started telling them, I'm like, well, what social media do you use? And they're like, well, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. And I was like, okay, well, there's similar functions to what we're doing with the online learning platform. Upload pictures, you have an account, you log in, and just making them feel comfortable with today's position that we're in with teaching and reaching students in different ways and online forms, and feeling confident to Indigenize online spaces as well, especially when we think of so many of our young students on online and making TikToks and whatnot. So engaging our youth in different ways.
Because that's where they're at. Mm-hmm. So right. You know, I went on to Instagram and Facebook and things because I knew that's where they are. Because I wanted to pass knowledge to them from people like yourself. And I have other guests, you know, and come and talk about how to inspire people, motivate people, how to heal, you know, because our people are so beautiful. We're born that way. That's where we come from. We come from people that were taught to be generous. You know, give away your first drum, give away the first deer you kill, the first fish, the first hat you make, the first headband, whatever it is. And give it to somebody that's not your family to build relationships. You know, in that system, everybody's self-esteem or value was insured. That you belong, you're part of us, you know, and we're going to teach you. We're not going to give up on you. You know, that's such a, when I look at that way of life, my language saying in Klagman, how we're supposed to live. When I look at that and I listen to my granny's stories about that, how we were taught, right from the womb. You know, it's such a beautiful way. And to hear you share, you know, about struggles and overcoming struggle. It's so beautiful. And that's what people need to hear. Like the story of a D, as long as you get through. You know, that's beautiful because it is a competitive world. Like I lectured at UBC for, I think, 14 years, you know, in the School of Medicine and other places up there. Oh, students stressed out because their marks aren't high enough, you know, not worried about passing, but seemingly that they have to have the highest mark, which is a competitive edge. I got nothing against competition. It's good to strive to be good. But don't get yourself sick about it, you know. So I really love the whole energy around NITEP about transformation, bringing light to the minds of children, of all human beings. That's the only way to defeat darkness, of oppression, of colonization, of racism, is with light. Darkness will not do it. That's what Martin Luther said. You know, we fight darkness with light. We create a fire, or we get that raven to open its beak and let out the sun. Because we need the sun to grow, to survive the warmth of the sun. I was at NITEP, must be two summers ago now. And I went there, and Marnie had all this food there, you know, and that's being indigenous. I can eat as much as I want, you know, and I see the students eating. And I know we have poor students. So I thought, what a blessing. I've talked to students that were struggling. I was talking to some here that were going to college here. I volunteer here. And they were struggling. They were hungry. So I said, everybody's younger than me. I call them nephew or niece. This is a young man. I said, hey, nephew, don't be afraid to go to the food banks. That's what they're for. Don't feel ashamed about that. You got to keep yourself strong for tomorrow. You know, you walk away from being a mechanic or whatever you're doing here, it'll take care of you in the future. To do that, you're sacrificing now. Because a lot of our students are underfunded. That's the reality. They get hungry. And families help out, which is beautiful. But some don't have that backing. You know, so All that comes just me remembering Marnie with her food. You know, the...
And Marnie can't cook. I just supply. Everybody else cooks.
See how humble she is? Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so the, you know, the wellness and the leadership. I've said to different groups, society, I'm not talking just about Indigenous, but society at large, we have unhealthy people trying to help unhealthy people. I'm looking at healthy people now, right now, on my screen, and they're NITEP. Just from listening to you, because healthy means to be strong in mind, body, and spirit. That's what that word health means. And to listen to you come through, even being a mother or, you know, our family struggle and you still make it. That's a sign to me about your gift and your drive. Do what one of my elders said, we're going to wake up the sleeping giant. And he was saying all the Indigenous people. We're going to help them to be proud of themselves. When I was listening to you and some of you talking about your life, I was remembering my daughter lived with my mom. The elders used to take one of the children. You know, it used to be common. Not so much now. So my mother says, that's mine. We didn't give her right away. But eventually she went. And she, every day I noticed she'd say to my daughter, she's walking out the door to go to school, you don't bring shame to our name. My daughter ended up in the principal's role of honor and got scholarships and bursaries and didn't have to pay for the first year of college because of those teachings from her grandmother. So the life givers, the first teachers, and they teach the moral codes about how to behave, how to be. And we're going home to that because you're there. Guys are sort of competitive, you know, and sometimes, you know, they forget about that. But mothers never do. It's my belief. So I'm just so happy that you've taken time out of your life to come to share teachings in the air. It's called teachings in the air because one of my elders told me, everything we know as a human being comes through the air. We see it. We hear it, we smell it, we taste it, we touch it. All our teachings, everything we know comes through the air. So your teachings are going to go through the air to listen. And listen to teachings in the air. People are listening around the world to teachings in the air. You know, my Eugene and them track it. And they have a list of the top 8 countries that listen to teachings in the air. You know, so you're going to be heard. I want them all to know how proud I am of you and how precious you are to all, even the unborn babies, because your work will touch them, because you'll touch their mothers and fathers. And they might be just little elementary school students now, but just one teaching from you to those NITEP students, like, it's okay to fail. Don't quit just because you fail once. Try harder, you know. This message is like that. You're okay. There's nothing wrong with you. Oh, I have such respect for mothers that have babies that continue their education. Men don't have the faintest idea of all the work it takes to raise children, babies. Some single men do, single fathers, but most men don't know. You know. So I just like you to share now. I want you to pick a group. It could be young boys or teenagers or men or girls or young ladies or ladies or even elders. I'd like you to send a message to a group that comes up in your mind, a message about education, you know, the importance of education. So I'd like you to give a message. It could, you know, whatever comes to your mind, it could be to the government of Canada, it could be the premier, it could be to the all the Indigenous men on the reserves or the one downtown, wherever, whatever comes to your mind. And this time we're going to go backwards because I heard someone say, I don't want to be this number. So we're going to go to Joanna.
I would say this message to others who grew up similar to me. I grew up in a small town. I grew up with a single mother with my grandparents, raised by my mom and my uncles and my aunts, and spending times in the summertime with my grandfather and fishing on the river, and then going out with my granny to pick berries and to smoke fish. I was an intergenerational survivor of residential school and Indian day school. I'm the first one in my family to graduate from high school, so I'm termed a label as a first generation student. And throughout my whole degree program, from the Bachelor's of Science in Psychology to my Master's in School of Population and Public Health, to most recently in my PhD in Human Development, Learning and Culture, I was the only Indigenous person in my programs. And I knew I wanted to trailblaze. I wanted to make a path for others to follow. And so I say, don't give up on yourself. And sometimes I would share with faculty my dream of getting a PhD when I first started out way back when, and some of the faculty would tell me, you know, only less than 1% of Indigenous people get their PhD, only 0.5% do it. And to me, that felt like a challenge, like I'm going to get this done and I'm going to do it and you can't stop me. And so I say, you have to just be a warrior sometimes and go through the school even though you're the only one, and to go back and to talk to your family and your friends and your community and your loved ones, and don't do this journey alone. Let them know what you're going through. Even though you might be the only one sitting in class, go back to them because you represent your family, your community, and Indigenous people everywhere, and everyone's proud of you. Even though when those moments are tough and you go home crying, find those support systems because they're there for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Jennifer.
I guess my message would be to our relatives that are relearning who they are. So they're finding their roots, they're finding their heritage. And often we see fear in the classes where they're coming in and they think that we're going to all carry all this knowledge, these connections to our teachings, and that feeling less than Indigenous. I don't want to come to this class because I don't know who I am. I don't know what territory I belong to. I would say that to never feel like that's an issue, to never feel less than, and to know that all of that is inside of you. It's just sleeping. It's dormant. And that's what we're here to do as your partners, as your co-educators, co-students, because we're all learning together, is to help you reawaken what's there and what you already know.
Thank you. Wonderful message. Marnie.
Thank you, ladies. I think if I could address this to anybody, I would have to say to the those that still feel like that they're not enough and they can't do things, they can't grasp their next goal, is to not give up. Don't ever give up. I was listening. You have said over and over about transformative education, and Jennifer said when she was in those throws about success and reaching that next goal. And think about the butterfly and what that we get this cocoon stage and the chrysalis, what's happening within the chrysalis, and then that beautiful butterfly comes forth. And when I think about Jennifer's career, when she came to us right out of NEC, and what if we said, oh, your grades aren't good enough, it way back in year one, and I think, gonna cry, what she is today and what she's accomplished in being a, you know, she went through the NITEP program, she got her master's degree, she had a baby in the school, in classes, you know, like, and never missed a beat. And now she's doing her PhD, and she's our colleague and our peer and our mentor, and she teaches me more today than I think I've ever taught her. And I'm just so grateful. And that, and if I could say anything to anybody in, that's listening, is don't give up. There's a jewel, a gem inside of you. And you always say to just find that gift, walk in it, do it, and go forward. And that's something that we lost in residential schools, is that that desire, that aspiration to dream that we can do something greater. And I, if I can do anything, it's to nurture that desire to aspire to be something. Haichka.
Haichka, CM. Haichka. Tanil.
So passionate, Marnie. Every answer you've got, you're like, I am here. I love it. My message, I guess, is kind of all of us summed up, which is trust your journey. It's trust your path. Trust where you are. Trust what you're learning. Trust that you are meant to be going somewhere, that you are going somewhere. I learned this in funny ways throughout my own life, but I realized it was set before me. I come back to my mom's journey. Because she, and why I care so much about holistic health and tell people, please care about your health. She walked her two worlds in the Western education system and being an Indigenous person, and through all of that battled cancer twice. It's a heavy, heavy toll on Indigenous people. And she didn't survive her second one, which was the same time that she was taking her master's degree. She got her master's degree but didn't survive her fight with cancer then. So I'm continuing on in her journey, and she trusted her journey through all of her battles, through all of her struggles, being removed from her family as a very young baby when she was 3 years old, removed from the 60 scoop. She always trusted her journey. She always found a way to give back, and I'm the product of that. And I've learned through her and my own reflections of my journey to trust my path and to trust my journey. So in addition to what all of us have just said, it's that we see you, we hear you, we acknowledge you, we know that you're here, we love you for being here, we believe in you, and we want you to trust your journey, because there are people here for you, and we're just a few of the many that are upcoming to lead you and to take your hand on the rest of your journey.
Thank you. Thank you, life givers. You know, it's there's times that I get filled up with hope. And that's one of those times, sitting with you on this virtual circle. And having you show your heart to the world. It's so beautiful. I want to let you know. Like to acknowledge you for that. You know, I would think of the, what they call the determinants and the numbers, you know. And they've been low for a while, you know, are people not graduating, not going to post-secondary, not having a career. And today I'm so hopeful. Because of NITEP, because of all of our Indigenous life givers and men that work in post-secondary institutions to help them make it through, to face those challenges and let them know, I got your back. you can do this. You know, and you have proven now with your words that we can do this. So I'd just like to thank you from my heart and my spirit for being here today on Teachings in the Air. You know, it's a lot of the podcasts I do, what I hear coming from my guest is love. And love is a commitment. I tell people, love is not a feeling. It will turn into a feeling once that commitment is consistent. Like when you become committed to your baby, when it's consistent, there's those good feelings that pass between the mom and the baby. And they learn that. And they pass that commitment on. So I can tell you're committed to an ITIP. So that's love, that you love an ITIP, which is beautiful. You know, so I just want to raise my hands to you. Let you know I'll send you energy in my ceremony, my Statlium way. And I encourage all my listeners to send a thank you out when you're listening to this to my guests, my wonderful guests, and send some energy their way because they've shared with you now. And your child may listen to this, or grandchild, or nephew, or niece, or cousin, and be inspired to follow them. So I just like to thank you again. And, be safe. You know, COVID is, this too shall pass. And I just like to say, Cook, Stim, Gallup, Chip, Nook, what night up? Kaichka, see, night up.